WSHF 567. Good morning, time and monitoring.
Rodney.
WSHF 567, monitoring. WRWB 49, and we're standing by. WSHF 567. That was not me. That was somebody playing my transmission over the CB radio on the GMRS. I just want to make that perfectly clear. Yeah, I heard it. Somebody was trying to loop it through with your audio. Yeah, I got a good idea who that was. You too, he's out on the radio right now. You know who it is, my neighbor. Anyways, good morning, Mike. Good morning, Tim. Morning time to you and yours, Mike. I hope you have a good day, and sorry about the mess up or the confusion out here this morning. Yeah, just people are just being stupid. Anyway, what's going on with you? Well, you know, yesterday I did something I haven't done in 3 years. I shaved this beard mustache off my face. Instant air conditioning. You know, I look in the mirror and I look like the old Murray guy from, you know, Murray's Auto Parts. So that's funny. Well, I'm being serious. I mean, that's what I look like. I mean, I don't look anything like I was in that photo. I'm seriously thinking about buying a repeater and getting it hooked up so we can eliminate some of this, because some of the other undesirables have GMRS radios now, so it's going to become a show of sorts, if you know what I mean. Yeah, well, it doesn't take much, you know, a $5 radio or $20 radio, and it don't take much to program it, so. Anyways. Yeah, they have, like I told you, they have some of those ones online you can buy. I don't know if you're supposed to key up when them things going or not. I always wait. Yeah, I've been looking at them. Some of them are pretty pricey. Yeah, they can be. I know years ago we had one where Gene and I had acquired one. It was a decommissioned Flint Police Department repeater. That thing was massive. It took up a whole closet, you know. So we ended up, someone bought it off of us. You know, they wanted it so bad, so yeah, we sold it. Freedom of speech went down. Trump said there ain't no freedom of speech when it comes to him. You talk bad about him, it's against the law. I don't understand that at all, man. I don't get it. I didn't hear nothing about that, and I watch all the news across the board, and I didn't hear nothing about that. Now, I know in the wake of this Charlie Kirk thing, you know, there are a lot of, you know, people out there that are being very, you know, well, let's just say they're sick. I'll just put it to you that way, sick.
No, I get it. They're making a big deal out of this guy. I don't even know who this guy was. You know, I mean, a lot of people didn't know who he was. And now all of a sudden they're making a big deal out of it, like he's somebody.
Well, he was to the conservative world and independents and libertarians alike. You know, he was really outspoken, and he was, you know, and he was very Christian-like. He liked to throw in scripture in his chats. When he would have these motivational, you know, speaking sessions at these colleges. Oh, yeah, he was really famous. He even had a his own radio show it was syndicatedly broadcasted around the nation. But, yeah, AM 1400, used to hear him all the time in there. And then he had his own time slot on one of the streaming networks, the streaming news networks. He had his own time slot. But like Bill Maher said, and I'm sure you're familiar with Bill Maher, he's like an old-time liberal, you know, Democrat. And he used to have Charlie Kirk on his show all the time.
And he was devastated. You know, they were polar opposites, but, you know, at the end of the day, you know, they still got along because they had some things that they were, you know, agreeing upon. And they had some things they were, you know, they had in common. He was, you know, he was devastated. You know, that's not good. You know, when you got people just capping people because, oh, he said this word, you know, that's, or said that, you know, that, come on. You know, now we're getting a little too carried away. Where's Paul at this morning? He only has a mobile. He doesn't have a base. He has nothing for the house. It's just in the mobile. Now he has listening devices, you know, that can monitor this frequency, but nothing to transmit on in the house.
So someone said, someone on the other band stated, my distant neighbor, you know who, I'm not going to say his name, says, the reason why they turn off the repeater is because of Paul. I said, nope, it's because of you coming up and chunking the channel.
I don't know, man, you know. There's a few players out here that just recently surfaced, you know, that get on the Macomb repeater or the Mount Clemens repeater and they cause havoc. One of them's licensed, well, he's piggybacking off of his wife's call sign, but he's one of the players, and he had that other guy, you know, that he helped set up and get a radio and with no license that's been, you know, causing trouble too as well. You know, I don't want to get involved. This is a big network of repeaters, and nobody wants to hear this. So anyway, I'll change the subject.
You guys just keep spreading lies all you want. You hear something, you switch the story around, and you make it up, man. Go ahead, keep doing this crap, man. You guys are the ones destroying the thing for everybody.
Yeah, sure, it's us, 202, sure.
I've been out here for about a little over, it's a little over 2 years now, almost three. And everything was kosher until, you know, certain people got out here, and you know who. So, and then, yeah. Anyway, so what do you got going on for today, Sam?
Everything was fine.
Got a safe call out there. Whatever comes my way.
Something to say, Eric. You got something to say, man? You know what? You should just come to people's house and say it to their faces instead of being a coward.
I could barely hear him. He's probably on a HT or something, way out in no man's land, so I wouldn't worry about it. Anyway, you said you're working on a chainsaw?
Yep, 10-4.
What kind?
Pull-on Pro.
Oh, yeah. I have three different variants of that same, well, of not that same saw, but the 110. Let's see, I got a Sears version of that, the actual Poland version of that, and then one that says Wizard 110, which was names, you know, well, it was manufactured and then resold under the Western Auto Stores. So Western Auto at one point had their own version of a Poland, and they just put their name on it. They called it Wizard and painted it orange.
Yeah, Rod, so that's usually how it works. They make the name brand stuff without their stickers, and other people put their own stickers on it, you know, and make it what they want, and that's how they sell it cheaper.
you know, the, back in the day when all the department stores would buy from the leading manufacturers and they put their name on it. But you knew what you were getting. At least, well, some people did. Not everybody knew. They just thought, oh, yeah, the department store made that. No, they never manufactured nothing. They just bought from the leading manufacturers and they put their name on it.
Yep. Customer Reggie, who I fixed that $10,000 golf cart for, he called me up yesterday. He says, my golf cart's running good. I need to bring my four-wheeler. I said, I'm here, bring it.
Well, there you go. More money. You know, one of these days when I get time, I gotta dig out my ATCs and I gotta, you know, get them going again.
Joe, what's that for?
No, I have two Honda ATCs. One's the 200S and one is the 200M.
Yeah, the Hondas, the three-wheelers, right?
Yep, correct, the Mundo. Yeah, the one is just manual pull start, and the other one is pull start or electric start, but they don't have reverse. The only one that had the reverse was the 250SX, and I think the Big Red.
Big Reds were fun.
I remember one time me and this guy went down to Ohio because he bought this ATC off of a farmer. And the thing was immaculate. You could just lick off of it. It was that clean. I mean, it still had the knobbies on the tires and instructions. And it was a red, white, and blue 250SX. It was like showroom quality. He bought it. Rode it maybe a few times, and that was it. And he says, oh, I can't ride this, you know, because it's just too nice. I'm like, that's what this thing was intended for, man. It was to ride it. He didn't want it, so he sold it. He got more money than what he paid for it.
I took out two brand new Big Reds out of 21 in Gratiot when we lived there as kids, and, my uncle just dropped him off, you know, he said, go take him for a ride. You know, he thought we were going to take him a ride around the horse track and bring him right back. We found the biggest mud hole we can hit, and we hit it.
At least you won't stall out. They got that snorkel that comes up to the frame. WRWB 49.
USHF 567. Yeah, them things were fun back in the day.
Yeah, I remember the year they outlawed those. You know, everybody just started turning them in and destroying them. It's like, oh, my Lord. Heck, we had some years ago when I was growing up. I think I was about 3 or 4 years old. When they just outlawed them, my dad was driving by, and this guy had, you know, 2 3-wheelers for less than $1,000. And this was back in the 80s, you know. I think maybe just a little bit over $1,000. But that's pretty damn cheap, you know. And they were like brand new at the time. I think they were both, yeah. They were 200Ms.
That was a two-stroke. That was a bad 3-wheeler.
Yeah, the 250R I think was, or the EX, or the E, or one of them. Yeah, it's got like the, was it the wider wheelbase in the back, and kind of elongated.
That two-stroke with power band, quick.
got me is that same guy that bought the 250XS off that farmer in Ohio. He had picked up another one that was, it was pretty beat up looking, but he got it really cheap, you know. It's painted camouflage, and when you start the thing up, it had bad rings, but it still ran. I don't understand how, but it ran. Anyway, he turned that one into a wood splitter. He had his friend make him an adapter plate, and we bolted one of those screw-type log splitters on that you bolt up to the drive wheel, a stickler. Anyway, we're using it for that purpose. Not a good idea, but it worked.
Hey, Roger, I've seen them log splitters, the pointy things hooked up the car tires and truck tires, you know, and they put the log on there and split them up.
Yeah, they got two different kinds out there that I know of. You got a stickler, and then you have the unicorn. And if you're not careful with them and don't know what you're doing, it could swing you around.
Yeah, I'm sure of it.
Trust me, I watched somebody try to use it, and they got spun around. Oh, that was funny.
So, Mike, we got three houses of druggies across the street, you know, hair on heads. And, the one guy got kicked out of his house. Right next door, I don't know what's going on there, but them people, and right next door, the guy that got kicked off the drug pusher, is living in the other house now. They're all living in together. I guess it makes it easier for them to get the drugs.
I am glad I don't live in no neighborhood like that. You know, growing up, we had an issue with a few neighbors on my street, but not no more. And I lived over there by Cass and Grossbeck.
I know what it's like over there. At least I knew what it was like in the 80s and 90s.
It wasn't too bad. I lived over by the golf course, and wasn't too bad. Now, when you get into downtown Mount Clemens, like, well, I wouldn't say downtown in the heart, but like the northeast part, you know, over by Joy and Gratiot, that's where it gets sketchy.
Yeah, drive through there at night real slow and watch them all stick their hands in the car trying to sell the crack rock. I don't know if it's still like that, but it used to be. Well, they learned this because I live with a crackhead trying to save. There is no saving a crackhead.
The, what is that, Clemensport or Newport Arms? Anyway, yeah, it's all confined into that little space there. I work next door. I take care of a gentleman there at the senior towers. And all the time you see the police there, it's like an everyday occurrence.
Learned a lesson. You can't save somebody who don't want to be saved. Crack, meth, don't matter. If somebody don't want help, you can't help them.
Yep, that's very true. I've seen it firsthand. I watched a guy chug a half pint and then look at me. I was sitting at the park there, you know, with my client. He likes to go to Joy Park all the time. I really don't, you know, care for that place, but it was a daytime, so. Anyway, he chugs a half pint, he looks at me and he says, "Do you think I'm okay?" I'm like, "I think you need to go seek treatment now, you know. Harbor Light's just down the street." I said, "They'll take you in, they'll dry you out, get you cleaned up, and, you know, keep you in there for 30 days. I mean, you need it." Yeah, he was bad. I'm like, oh, man. I don't know what his life story was or his situation, but he was only like in his late 20s. I'm like, man.
What a shame. That's a shame to be an alcoholic at such an early age, you know, because his body, you know, all that alcohol won't last long, that's for sure. Once the alcohol gets to you, you know, you can't stop drinking it, you know. You know what it does. I don't have to explain it. It's a bad thing, though. I've seen it quite a few times. I've seen people die from it, you know, so I know it's bad.
Well, I used to go out 3 to 4 days a week, and I was a barfly. I quit all that. I don't do that no more. But yeah, it got to a point where I was getting to be a little bit too belligerent, you know, and it's like, you know what, I just, one day I stopped, and then just willpower and determination, you know, I just did it cold turkey. You know, I quit.
Jill, I'm sure your wife had something to do with that.
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, when I got married, there was no need to go out 3-4 days a week. It was getting to be crazy, man. You know, and one of the places I used to frequent a lot is that one down by you. It was at the end of on your street there on Van Dyke.
The one on Memphis?
I think it was Memphis. I might be. Anyway, it's right there, you know, by Nine Mile and Van Dyke. I forgot the name of the place. It was owned by that woman, and then she closed it.
April Stefani. She was one of my grade school crushes, man, and I never told her. Her boyfriend at the time used to put her up against a locker and abuse her, and I was going to get into a fight with him, but my parents said, if I get into a fight, I'm going to boys' camp, you know, Mexi camp. So I wasn't allowed to fight at this point, but I had a crush on her when I was a teenager. You know, it's funny. I moved back from Kentucky, and I was on my bikes with my friends, and we walked into her gas station, I mean her bar, and she walked up to me and said, "Who are you? What's your name?" I said, "Where are you from?" I said, She said, "I know you." I said, "No, you don't. I just moved here." She says, "Yes, I do." I said, "No, you don't. I just moved here." She said, "What school did you go to?" I said, "Lance Cruz." She goes, "You're Sam Parkinson, right?" I said, "I sure am. And you're April Stefani, and I used to have a crush on you."
That was the name of the bar, Louis, right there at the corner. Oh, it was right there by Nine Mile and Van Dyke. It would have been on the east side as you're going north, just past 9 Mile. About maybe, what, one or two streets past 9 Mile on the east side as you're going north.
Hot Shot.
Well, it wasn't called Hot Shots. It was just called Louis.
Totally different bar. The girl I'm speaking of owned Hot Shots. Her parents left it to her, but she recently sold.
Oh, okay. Yeah. But yeah, that's where I used to go a lot. I had a friend that lived on Republic, and it was his parents', you know, house that they were renting out. One of many. And he was staying down there, and this was like 15 years ago. Then, of course, you know, he moved out, but, yeah, you know, even back in 2010, you know, that area was getting kind of sketchy.
I just want to know how that girl knew me. I never had the guts to talk to her, so, you know, I didn't think she knew me at all.
Who knows, you know?
Maybe she had a crush on me too. You never know.
Yeah, it could be.
Look at some of these pretty girls that used to be in high school, and they're not so pretty anymore. But the ugly duckling became pretty. It's weird.
Yeah, sometimes it happens that way. I went to school with one, you know, man. You know, she was a dime piece, but then, you know, after she had a few kids, well, things changed.
A couple cases of beer, a couple fifths, and she looks good. I get it.
All right, there, Sam. I'm going to take a standby here for a little bit.
USHF 567. Yeah, Mike, have a good day. We'll talk to you later. I'm standing by.
Well, I'll be back, but I'm just going to take a standby here just for a minute. WRWB 489, and we'll be standing by.
Oh, yeah, I got C902. 973 got on this morning.
Hey, it's the birthday boy. Morning time to you. What's happening?
Just getting past trying to get ready to run out the door.
Yeah, right, today we got work today. How was your birthday?
It was just another day because I, you know, basically worked till 7 o'clock or so. Came home 8, watched the Idiot Box for a minute, fell asleep. I'm just not waking up, getting ready to do it again.
Yeah, that's all right, man. It's the cycle of life, I guess. So, I don't know, man. Yeah, I didn't hear you out here yesterday. I wasn't out here much yesterday. It's getting kind of discouraging here. But I just happened to have it on this morning. But that being said, I'll let you go ahead on. Get yourself together and get your butt off to work. So maybe talk to you later sometime there. We'll see here how it goes. But anyway, man, have a good day. WSFZ793. And I'm clear.
Good morning, 793 from WSHF 567. Sam, I am.
Sam, you are. Morning time right back to you. What's happening?
Oh, not a lot of, you know, it's the same old on the other band. You know how that goes. You know, everything's good over here. No complaints. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. I just, second cup and, trying to get the cobwebs out of my head still. I woke up a little late this morning, usually up about 4, but this time I made it to 6. I don't know how the hell that happened, but that's what it is, though. But doing all right, man.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with a little extra Z's. Now, come on now. Your body needed it, obviously. Hey, I've been up since 3 o'clock this morning. I got up early, and I'm going to start my day at 9 o'clock, okay?
Roger that. What do we have on the table for today?
Well, we have a chainsaw on the table today. I have a zero turn out in the driveway, and I have another zero turn waiting on the starter.
Oh, okay. So, one zero turn needs a starter. What's wrong with the other one?
Waiting on the carburetor.
sucks. That's not too bad, man. You should have that knocked, well, when you get the parts. You should have that knocked off in no time, I'm pretty sure. What kind of chainsaw you got there?
Full on Pro. I got another one, too. I don't know what it is. Husqvarna, I believe. It's just sitting there, two of them. I got to get them done. No big deal. I got a four-wheeler coming today. The man that I did the golf cart for, you know, the belt job, called me up and said, hey, my golf cart's running perfect. I got a four-wheeler now I need you to work on. I said, well, bring it. I'm here.
Well, it's good news, man, I guess. I'd say it's good news. It's you know, you got work rolling in. You know, it's better to have it rolling in than not rolling in at all, man. Make that money a bit. But, yeah, it sounds like you're getting a little piled up there.
A little bit, but I work so fast it doesn't stay piled up for long. You know, I should put a sign out front, tire machine on premises, because you don't know how many flat tires I've seen drive by my street, by my house already. You know, I can fix all the flats.
Now, I'm not sure if you advertise or not, but if you do, yeah, it would be wise to mention in your advertisement that you have a tire machine, because, you know, you could, you can get a customer gathering or whatever it is. What's the word I'm looking for? A client. You get a clientele together just on the tire machine, man. If they know you got a tire machine, instead of running all over to Discount Tire or something and having to wait, you know, they could just roll right over there and get it done.
Right, Joe. I do tires for my customers, you know, and lawnmower tires, motorcycle tires, four-wheeler tires, you name it, I'll do them.
Yeah, Roger that. Is it one of them tire machines that the real tire machine runs off electricity or air or something?
Yes, it's a real tire machine. I bought it from Bad Pig Customs. They put a new one in line and I bought their old one. But it's the same one that Detroit Harley Davidson uses, same one that, you know, Bad Pig Custom uses. It's a motorcycle tire machine, but it does car tires also.
Yeah, Roger that, then you got the good ones. Back in the day, it was a time I bought one of them damn Harbor Freight ones. Manual tire machine, no air or electricity. And I used to have a hell of a time with that thing. I ended up breaking, in fact, the one time during a job, I ended up breaking the bar that you stick inside the bead, and then you put the center of it on the pole, and then you spin it, you know, to break the bead out. Ended up snapping the bar on it and stuff. I just got disgusted with it and threw it all in the metal pile. And I swore one day I'd get me a real tire machine. That thing was a pain in the butt.
Yeah, Rajo, I had one of the manual power machines for a little while. You know, manual, you know, no power. Harbor Freight junk, a friend gave it to me, and I used to run tires over to break them down, but now that I got the tire machine, you know, it's got the thing on the side where it just breaks the tire off the rim. That thing's so powerful, I put a oil filter, you know, in between there and where the tire goes, just to see what it would do to an oil filter. Crushed it down pretty good.
I used to remember taking my tires over to my friend Russell's, rest in peace, brother. He had an International Harvester 300 with a front end loader or something like that. And I used to take him over there and he'd drop the front end loader down on him and break him off the bead. It wasn't so hard getting the tires off the rim then, as long as the bead was the thing, unless the bead was already broke. You know, one of them tires that sat for so long that it was off the bead. I used to have him take his front end loader and break the bead for me. and had to do it, you know, and had to go all the way over there and have it done, you know, in order to fix it. But that tire machine, I don't think that thing lasted me but about a month. And then when I snapped that center, I don't know what part you call it there. You know what I'm talking about, the bead breaker piece of metal that it breaks the bead. I snapped that in half. That was it, man. I was like, I'm going to end up messing myself up. I keep screwing around like this.
Roger, that tire machine I got is a Coates, and I'll tell you what, it's a life changer. It's a lot easier changing tires when you have the right equipment versus running them over, breaking them down by hand, you know, blah, blah, blah. You know, it's a lot easier and it looks more professional. So, there you go. I'm going to do it the right way because I can.
Yeah, right, that. I know I asked you, but I can't remember the answer. Is it electric or is it pneumatic?
The electric runs a turntable, and the air runs everything else, you know, the jaws and the bead breaker.
Yeah, right, it's both then. I've seen that. Yeah, you got a good one there. At least you got something, you know, that you're not going to end up trying to break a bead or something, have the thing snap, and then all of a sudden you go flying into the wall or something, or have it snap and come up and hit you and take your eye out or something. Them Harbor Freight ones are a joke, man. I know people who use them too, who's you know, use them successfully, but I tried. I used to do the trick of, shooting starting fluid in the tire when I couldn't get the bead to go, and then igniting the starting fluid, and the pressure would blow the tire back onto the bead. And I remember one day I kind of overdid it with the starting fluid, and it was pretty disastrous. I ended up singeing my eyebrows and my front of my hair and everything. I messed myself up, so I quit doing that. Alright, hang on a second, I got somebody at the door, I'll be back in a minute. Alright, I'm back, sorry about that, man, somebody knocked at the door, I had to go see what they wanted, a bunch of BS. I just tell them, I say, I'm not the owner, and then it shuts them off, and they go away. Except for Jehovah's Witnesses, it don't work with them.
They keep coming back no matter what.
Ain't had none here in a long time, but, man, they can be pretty damn persistent. You know, and you don't want to be, well, me personally, you know, I don't want to be rude, you know, or anything. You know, I try to be a good, you know, try to be a decent person. I understand where they're coming from, but come on, you know, if you say no, they should take it as no and, you know, get on down the road. But, man, you know, and then finally you just got to get a little rough and you got to tell them, look, man, you know, what part of no don't you understand? I'm not interested, you know. I hate going that route, but that's the only way to get rid of them.
Can't answer the door to Jehovah's Witnesses, because as soon as you do, they put you on a list and then they come knock on your door every time they're in the neighborhood.
Yeah, I was told that before, too, but, you know, you think they'd write your name on the list and they'd say if it was rude or, excuse me, was not interested, you know, but, you know, I mean, I'd put up with them for years. As a kid, even, they used to come to the door and my mom would try to tell them she's not interested, but they keep on, you know, so my mom would take a couple pamphlets from them and tell them thank you, have a blessed day, send them on their way. Me, it's a little different, but like I said, that's been quite a few years since then he's knocked at our door.
My wife opened up the door for the Jehovah's Witnesses, and they came knocking on our door for like 4 years. We finally told them no thank you, and they went away.
Yeah, you got to give it to them for perseverance or whatever word that is, they'll keep running you. You know, like I said, you know, even after two or three no thank yous and stuff, they'll keep pushing until they're finally convinced that you just ain't interested. But, all right, Sam, I'm going to go ahead and finish my coffee here and try to get these cobwebs out of my head, man, before I start spurring off in all different directions here. So that's what happens when my head ain't clear, that I start going here, there, and everywhere, and then not without realizing it. That's just the way I am. But good talking to you, man. Sound good. Sounded really good through the repeater, and we don't talk to you later today. You have yourself a good day, man, and we'll speak on you sometime there down the road. WSOZ 793, I'll clear up yours.
793, you have a good day. We'll talk to you later. WSHF 567, monitoring.
Now. Calling me.
I don't know what happened. I was talking with you. I must have missed the volume. I must have hit the volume. I didn't hear nothing. I was getting dressed. And I look over at the radio and I see the signal coming through. And I'm like, shoot. I went over and turned the volume up.
Yeah, right today. Well, ain't no biggie. I just figured you were still, probably still in the groggy stage and, you know, just wanted to pen seven and get your head back together and stuff. So, because you didn't answer me, and, you know, I said, with that being said, you know, have a good day and stuff. So, all right.
WFSC now, too. Yeah, no, like I said, I called you last night when I got home at like 7:00. And, I'm not sure I didn't call up this morning. But I'll probably put my radio on.
Alright, you gotta put yourself in another place, nothing but hash. I heard what you said, but barely. You're in a spot there where it's interfering. But, yeah, I wasn't. I shut it off, man. I got discouraged. This is all going to pot, so I just shut it down and just did what I was doing and went to bed. But, yeah, well, now it's another day and see how it goes there, Roger.
Yeah, no, Roger, I had the power down on low all the way down, so. Yeah, so there's a bunch of Yahoos out there last night then, eh?
That must have been because Detroit repeater shut down again. Usually that's why. And, you know, Mount Clemens is the only one, open. They didn't have them linked up to the other side. So I sat out on Mount Clemens for a few, and I don't know, just all the ka-chunking and somebody mumbling through the mic and all this other stuff. And I was like, forget this. I don't feel like listening to this crap. So I shut it off.
Yeah, no, Roger that. It's all good. So, but yeah, I was just trying to get dressed, and like I said, I'm getting ready to store here right about now. So, but I'll have Tommy, and I'll give you a holler when I get down there. I'll be down in Detroit. So, I'll jump over to Detroit with you, and give you a holler later on midday or something.
Yeah, all right. Sounds good. If I got around, which I usually should, I'll give you an answer back there. If I hear you, well, you know I will. I mean, I think that the handheld works pretty good. All right, we'll talk to you in a little bit, my friend. Happy belated birthday, and we'll holler at you later. If not, you have yourself a good B. WSOZ 793, and I'm back listening.
Yeah, roger that. I have been so busy that I didn't even get on the post media and thank everybody for the birthday wishes. I'm sure they're sitting there. So that's because of how...
WSMZ 793, WSIC 866. You around, Dave?
Yeah, come on, 866. WSMZ 793.
That was. I just wanted to test the little antenna to see if it works.
Yeah, it's working really good. Coming in really good there, Roger.
Did you hear that noise after your transmission?
Yeah, it's some idiot out there that does this stuff once in a while. I just ignore him.
Must have had a bad breakfast.
Yeah, I didn't catch that. Okay, I didn't know what that was. I'm surprised this little inch antenna or a 6-inch antenna actually worked.
Yeah, well, it's working really good. What were you hearing?
There, and all this time I threw them things on the desk and thought they were just dry today instead of using that.
Yeah, Roger, is that the stock antenna that came with the radio?
Yeah, the radio came with two antennas, one short one, and... thinking that the little, I don't know...
Yeah, it's working good. It's working really good for you. You pull through the repeater and everything, no noise, no nothing. Sound about like you're sitting right here there, Roger.
Yep, Roger that. I tried it in the house. I couldn't trigger the repeater if I was in the house, but if I walk out on the deck, it seems to work just fine.
Yeah, Roger. You have that on high power?
I do.
Yeah, that's kind of semi-weird. You can trigger the repeater that good from the deck, but can't trigger from anywhere in your house. I don't know. Did you try every room in the house or just one room?
Yeah, just one room. I imagine if I went up to my office on the second floor, I could probably trigger it.
All right, yeah, that probably would work if you went up to your office. That'd probably do the trick. All right, I'll take it out of here for a sec. I want to get something to chow and take care of it. There's a couple things I got to take care of here. So, working good, man. Working really good for you. No problems at all. Nice clean signal through the repeater there. And sounding good, man. And, we don't talk to you later. You have yourself a good day. Have a good day. I'll talk to you in a couple minutes. WS627.
It's amazing. Some people buy radios just to make noises.
To step all over you, Dave. He must not like you. Anyways, I was going to tell you, my personal is Rick, and I don't live that far from you. I'm down here at... So, thanks for... I'll talk to you later.
Yeah, all right, Rick, 73, I'm clear.
WSFF330. Dave, copy.
Who's calling me?
330.
Who is that?
What's up, 330?
Hey, not much. Is there a chance you can switch to the other repeater? I'm just tired of that knucklehead.
Yeah, right, I'll go over there right now.
ZM493 monitoring.
WSIJ839 listening. J839 listening.
Yeah, copy that. Yeah, I got my Redivis back in the Jeep. It works fine, so I'm good. But just had to make sure after that that on the Goya antenna shorted out, remember?
I don't know how that happened. Must be. It's all we see out there, sunshine, no rain at all.
Yep, good day. Real good day. Maybe some rain tomorrow. Lucky.
If we're lucky, yeah. That grass out there is dying.
Okay, mine's been dead. Drought. The drought, big drought over here, there.
Yeah, same thing here. There's no water on that grass at all. It has not been almost a month.
I know it. Real bad. I haven't seen it this bad since, like, 2012, that one summer there on the road.
Roger, are we connected or no?
What do you mean, connected?
Are you talking to Bob out there in Sheboygan?
I haven't, no, not lately.
I don't know why, you know. So I have no idea why. Well, what are you going to do? But tonight, probably, you'll see all kind of movement out at night.
Yeah, roger that. Yeah, I guess so. I'll stay up a little later there, roger.
Yeah, what'd you do? Go on fishing again?
Say again?
Hey, what'd you do? Go on vacation again? That's why I didn't hear you for the whole week?
I was gone all during the daylight hours, helping my buddy with rebuilding an old John Deere tractor. He needed some help on that. So, yeah, I was gone there for several days. Roger.
Well, that's good, anyhow. All right, so you gonna be on the radio today?
Yeah, roger that. I got it on. I'm leaving it on here all day in the evening, so I can listen. We'll see if we hear any activity there, roger.
Hey, Randall, take care. Have a good day.
Okay, Aaron, how do I sound? Do you hear me? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, over. Aaron, do you hear me? Over. Hello, Aaron, do you hear me? Over.
IC866, I can hear you.
Just doing a little test here. Let's see if somebody can hear this GMRS radio. Do you hear me? Over. Hello, hello, hello. Hello, hello, hello. Hello. All right, Jeremy, how do I sound? Sound great. Over.
WRZU 556. This is WRZU 556.
This is WSKB 16-7. Are you hearing me out there?
I do copy you.
I'm here in Windsor. We're actually sitting in our Airbnb, and I just happened to turn the radio on, but I do copy you.
I appreciate that.
Oh, no problem. I'm gonna hop over onto some ham frequencies on my other radio here, but nice to hear you. WRZU 556.
Same to you. WSJD 627, signing off.
WIUG 38, radio check.
WSJD 627, I can hear you loud and clear.
Station 337, what is your location? Station 337, what is your location?
I'm in East Point.
Come back again. Did not get that location. Station 337, WIUG 48, what is your location?
Yeah, I'm not hearing anything from him there, Jack, but you did say it was East Point, WRUX 245.
Station 245,
WIUG, 48,
copy.
Yeah, I got you, Jack. How you doing?
Very good. How about you? I haven't talked to you in a very while.
Yeah, it's been a little while. Haven't been getting on the radio here in a bit, so yeah, had a nice day, had a little bit of time, so figured I'd hop on.
Good to hear you. You know, the summer is over, and I've been, you know, getting some pickles, cucumbers, and tomatoes. You know how it is. Like last summer, we worked too hard.
Yeah, exactly. That's about it. It's always something to do out there. Been busy every day this year. And, yeah, it's getting to be to the point that the garden's just about done. There's only a few more things out there for the cooler weather that are growing. But, yeah, tomatoes are just finishing off, and peppers are all done. Cucumbers are done. Squash is done. Yeah, it's just about finished, that's for sure.
Right, same thing here. Tomatoes are almost gone. You know, I still have some, a few left. They're still a green. They haven't got red yet. I'll tell you one thing. A lot of cherry tomatoes this year. I don't know what it is, but a lot of cherry tomatoes. And, you know, pickled cucumbers, they're all gone almost, except a few of them left. Anyhow, how you doing?
I'm doing all right. Just got done mowing the lawn a little bit ago, so I decided to take a break here and take it easy for a little bit.
Right, yeah. Sometimes you gotta do that. I do that a lot of time too. As soon as I get a little tired, I sit down and relax a little bit, then get up and and work again. Well, good talking to you. I don't know what station from Windsor. I don't know if that station out of Windsor. I don't have no idea, but I heard there was a station out of Windsor, Canada.
Yeah, I thought I might have heard something about that, but yeah, it wasn't up very, very much, and I didn't quite hear it on the radio.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Good talking to you, and really good to hear you. And keep going. You take care and have a good day. WIUG 48.
All right, yeah, it's always nice talking to you too, Jack. 73, have a good evening, and I will talk to you later. WRUX 245.
WSEU 202, what monitoring? WSEU 202, monitoring. Hello, Task 202.
Out there. Did you hear me?
Yeah, I didn't catch the numbers though. They're a little fuzzy through the repeater. WSOZ 793.
Appreciate hearing from you, 793. Yeah, I'm out here in White Lake, so I'm a little outside the perimeter. I picked up a new Wuxon radio, hoping that my signal would be a little clearer on that end. I was told I was just making a bunch of noise for it.
Nah, you're doing all right now. Sounds pretty good. Got a little fuzz in there, which is very little though, but I got everything you said there. Sounds good.
Roger that. Really good news to hear from you. So this is out in White Lake. From White Lake to the repeater is in Detroit. I'm able to hit it. So this is a new mobile radio, and I've got about 38 foot. My antenna is about 38 foot up off the earth. And That's all I wanted to know, if I was a little bit clear. I know I'm right on outside the edge. I know that.
Wow, White Lake, the Detroit repeater. That's a pretty good trip. Yeah, you're coming in great. You know, I would even say excellent. Nice and loud. Like I said, a little bit of air noise in there with you, but nothing... It wouldn't be nothing to nitpick over there, Roger.
Copy that, my friend. Well, I'm going to get back to chores. This is WRVA 688. They're in the town. You guys have a great night.
Yeah, Roger that, 688. No problem, man. Always glad to help. Sounding good. Have yourself a great evening also. WSOZ 793, I'm listening.
Just a couple parts away from finding you.
WSIL 946 from WSOZ 793. You in there? No contact on my friend Red Can Ralph 946. WZZ-793, and I'm listening.
Dave, I just heard you call me up, bro. What's been going on? WSAO 946.
There he is. Ain't heard you in a couple of days, man. Where you been?
I just been... Just been kind of hibernating. Haven't been feeling too good lately. Feel pretty good today, but really haven't had the radio on much. Later at night, get up and kick it on and do a little monitoring, you know.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, it's kind of the same here. I haven't been on much. I've been shutting it off and doing other things, you know. But, yeah, I just got done watching some YouTube videos of guys climbing these 1,000-foot, 2,000-foot towers, radio towers, to, you know, change the neon light on top and other things. And you'll never get me to do something like that. No, I don't give a damn how much money you got.
Here's me just thinking about it. Maybe I'll check that out. I don't know. It gives me a thrill.
I always wonder if I can explain this question the right way. Say like you're 130 pounds. You're going up the first section of the tower from the ground. You know, and the things you're stepping on, you're putting 130 pounds on. As you get up higher, does the gravity pull you harder? You know, you like end up, now you end up putting 200 pounds of pressure on the rungs or whatever. You know, as you get up higher, does the gravity pull on you that much harder?
No. I can't be.
Yeah, well, either way, man, it's some scary business. I watch. And the guy starts at the bottom, and he don't talk or nothing. He just goes up. And, you know, you got to keep putting them hooks with that safety rope. You got to keep bringing, you know, putting the hooks up higher and then come up and then take the hooks and put them higher. Next thing you know, he's above the clouds, man. And you can hear him breathing hard and stuff. And, you know, they probably got, he's got a, the one I watched, he had a GoPro, well, most of them have GoPros on their head. And he'd look up, and you'd see, he still got a ways to go, man. I'm like, man, it takes some kind of person, somebody with balls like that to do that.
So, yeah, so you're using the safety hook, and you're not going to hit the ground, but what if something does happen? How the heck are they going to get you down from there?
Exactly what I was thinking when I was watching them. I'm thinking, okay, let's say for argument's sake, you're 160 pounds. Okay, you're going up, you're about halfway up, whatever the case, a little up there, and something happens and you slip off. You know, is that rope going to hold you? You know, it's going to be a hell of a short drop, but the end of that drop, you know, it's going to be a hell of a lot of pull on that. I got to thinking about that, you know, would that hold them without snapping? And probably can, because I'm sure they test it before they put it, you know, they sell it to the tower climber. But, yeah, that's another thing. I thought, what if something happened up there where he slipped, fell, and knocked himself unconscious or break something, break a leg or something. How the hell are you going to get him down from there?
They actually have multi-man crews, WRZN 493. Sorry to interject.
No problem, 493. Appreciate it. Because other questions that run through my head, it's scary enough watching this stuff. Especially this one guy, he kept, you can see he's above the clouds,
and he'd go up so far and he'd look down with this GoPro on his head. And yeah, I got to thinking about that. I thought, well, you know, I guess the straps would hold him if he did slip and drop, you know, to the slack of the straps. But yeah, I got to thinking. That's what I was thinking. I think if something ever happened to him, you know, he's up near the top of the tower. Something goes wrong. He breaks a leg or has a heart attack or something. You know, how are they going to get him?
They basically have, like, emergency belayment kits, I believe they're called, that they just essentially rappel you down. Someone has to climb back up there. But you got to think that takes about 4 hours to make it to the top.
Yeah, this video I just watched was 18 minutes long. And it starts out, he's already above the clouds. It doesn't start him going from the ground up. You know, he's already above the clouds. And, you know, you just got some little things to step on and hold on to, some little spikes that come out. You got to throw his hook on there, you know, and stuff. And, oh, man, like I said, and then he gets to the top, and then he's got to tell them to shut off the electricity because the big neon light's still blinking. And then they shut it off, and then, the cover or whatever is hinged, so we just got to pop two clips, hinge the cover over, pull the light bulb and change it. And the light's still working too. I guess it's just maintenance. But Jesus Christ, I wonder how much they charge to do that.
Actually surprise you to find out that the people that actually make those climbs don't make that much money. I've got a guy that used to do things along those sorts for cell towers, and it's really not as much as you'd think they would be making.
Yeah, that's for sure.
And like you were mentioning, it's all a maintenance base, because you got to think the liability of a plane smacking one of those towers because a light bulb, you know, went out, and then they had to wait however many weeks for a crew to get out there to, you know, handle it.
Yeah, Roger that. I was thinking, this guy's got to be making $5,000 or something. I mean, but you say he ain't making nothing. I don't know what inspires them to, for nothing, for peanuts, you know. I don't know what inspires them to climb all the way up. This one was this tower I just watched was 1,999 feet. And like I said, it took him 18 minutes, and he was already, when it starts out, he's already above the clouds, man. So he's like almost three quarters the way up there, whatever the hell, man. It's just scary to watch.
And it kind of all falls under the category, you know, what scares you might not scare the other guy, and the other guy is willing to do it. So, generally they're going to have multi-man crews. If there's some type of emergency, whatever, they have their contingencies. But, I mean, they're all going to be wearing, you know, their fall protection and this, that, and the other. They're going to have the belay units, you know. I mean, there's a lot of things that are very well thought out about the whole scenario.
Yeah, I would figure that, too. I watched these videos before, quite a while ago. But I did used to watch this one guy. He always had, he always had one guy with him or two guys with him climbing up. This guy here was doing it alone. And I've seen not lots, but I've watched tower videos where the guy does it alone. And all right, well, ain't going to dwell too much on it. I just wondered, man. I'm thinking, you got to be getting paid some real money, man, to be doing something nutty like that. And you can hear him. He still had a little ways to go to get up to the top, but he's breathing heavy, and he actually had to stop and rest about 4 minutes before he went on his climb. And every time he'd look up, I'm thinking, dude, you still got a ways to go.
It's definitely not a quick thing for a lot of those really tall towers, but it's really cool the way that they go about it all.
Yeah, it is. I mean, like I said, it's scary, and I don't care if I wasn't afraid of any heights, man. I don't think I could do that. There's a lot of danger involved. You know, this guy, he was taking his time, man. That's the main thing. Take your time. And just, you know, you're going to eventually get up to the top. But just take your time, breathe, and if you need a minute, then stop and lean up and take that minute. You know, you start trying to get up to the top and you're half tired and you're forcing yourself, that's when stuff's going to happen.
Roger that.
All right, very good, man. Well, I appreciate the info. Cause I was really curious, you know. I mean, I think it takes balls, lots of it, to climb one, you know, especially a 2,000 footer. You know, you're way above the clouds, and he's looking down, and all you see is the tops of the clouds and everything, and he's looking up, and I'm like, dude, man, you still got about 30 runs to go, man. I don't know how you manage it, but they do. He managed to get up there, and then he keyed up his radio. He told him, turn off the electricity. The guy said, hang on a minute. Then the strobe went on. He said, electricity's off. And then he opened up the lid, and that was it. That was the end of it.
I think the main keyword is, phrase rather, would be don't look down. I mean, it would seem climbing a ladder is just climbing a ladder for an extended period of time until you actually look down, like you said, and you're like, holy crap, I'm, 1,000 foot up in the air.
Yeah, well, he did, man. He looked down, like, quite a few times. That was even worse, looking down, man. Like I said, you could see the tops of the clouds. He was above the clouds. It was all gray clouds around him, gray or black or something. You know, he was above the tops. You can see the sun and everything. It's pretty cool. But, yeah, all right. You can go ahead here and see if Ralph wants to become a tower climber, man. Make some extra money there, okay?
One thing you got to think about, though, what's going to happen when you spend 3 hours climbing that tower and then you drop your socket set or whatever.
Yeah, you know, those are things I thought about, too. Those are things I watch in other tower videos, too. I think, you know, what if you drop your socket wrench or something, man? You better know how to yell out loud, man. Fire in the hole or something. Because whatever you drop, it comes down to whoever it hits is going to have a hole in their head. Depending on what you drop, you can end up having a hole in their head or just be totally have their whole head crushed in. Yeah, that's another thing I thought about, too. Because I've seen some of the videos I've seen, yeah, they use socket wrenches. They're not, the socket wrenches ain't tied to nothing. They just go in a tool belt, pull it out, pop the socket on, and start undoing things. And I think, man, better hope you don't drop that.
Who knows? Maybe they can key up faster than the item actually drops. Maybe somebody's got, you know, a second or two to get under some cover.
Yeah, I would have to think guys doing that are very agile and very strong. Stronger than I've ever been in my life, for sure.
Roger that. Well, I'm going to be going clear. Again, sorry to interject, but I'm glad I could give some information. WRZN 493, clear.
Yeah, all right, 493. Like I said, thanks again. You know, we appreciate it. A lot of info that kind of, you know, took care of my curiosity a little bit there. Have yourself a good one, WSZ 793. I'm listening. Well, Ralph, I guess that leaves us out being power climbers.
Yeah, You know, I gave that dream up years ago. You know, just, I'm lucky if I can get out of bed anymore.
Yeah, I hear you. I'm the same way. I wouldn't make it up four rungs from the ground, and that'd be it. But kind of surprised to hear that they don't get paid that much. Man, you know, I mean, that's a dangerous-ass job, you know. Like I said, though, this guy on this one, you know, he was taking his time, and when he got near the top there, he still had a little ways to go, but he was breathing heavy and stuff. You can hear he was tired, but he stopped, you know, and he just stayed there a couple minutes, let him get his, you know, get his act together, and then started back up again.
Yeah, let him stop, have a little lunch, take a nap, and then go the rest of the way. That's, geez, thousands of feet, that's crazy.
Yeah, but somebody's got to do it. There's all kinds of them on YouTube. I forgot the guy's name. There was one years ago. This guy was a tower climber, and he had his own YouTube channel, and he had videos of him climbing these radio towers and cell phone towers, and you know, some of them, you know, one tower he climbed was 2,500 feet, and that was a crazy one, you know, but I guess if you can do it, you know, it's a living.
Yeah, well, some people are thrill seekers too. You know, they really enjoy dangerous times.
I remember now when I was sitting here. I remember now I watched one. I think it's the same guy that I was talking about has his channel. They had to go up and change the antenna at the top of the tower. It was a 1,500 foot. Or maybe bigger, and that was something. I had to get up there. That's where the socket wrenches came into play. I had to get up there and had to undo the coax, and then had to use socket wrenches. A lightning hit it or something, I guess, and screwed it up. But it was a tall antenna, very tall, and I forgot what he. I can't remember if he put a rope to it and set it down to the. No, I think he took it and then he radioed everybody to get out of the way, and he just dropped it off the side of the tower. It was a good sized antenna, man.
Oh, geez. Well, I'm gonna check the TV guide here. We got Sven Gulli at 8:00. The stupid black and white horror movies. Let's see what's on tonight.
Hey, if I could ask you, how old are you?
I'm 65.
Yeah, you're older than me. That's kind of scary. By two years or something. Hey, did you live around here as a kid?
No, I grew up in Southfield. And I spent west side, you know, probably the last 25 years I was out Westland area.
Yeah, you remember a television show back in the 70s and stuff, The Ghoul?
Oh, hell yeah, I did. It was pretty good.
I love The Ghoul, because you said Sven Gulli, and it made me think of The Ghoul. And that was my television show as a kid, and hell, even growing up in my teens, man, I didn't miss it. If I had a chance to get to a TV and watch it, I watched him. You know, he's always messing with Froggy, you know, and putting firecrackers in his mouth and stuff, Froggy's mouth blowing him up and stuff, man. He was great.
Blowing up toilets. eating froggy with a tomato.
They always had that one song they play that would play over monologue. Who stole the kishka? Who stole the kishka? Who stole the kishka from the butcher shop? Someone stole the kishka. Someone stole the kishka. Someone stole the kishka. Someone call the cop.
What was the other one? I lost my kibashi down the sewer.
Hey, I remember that. I lost my kibashi down the sewer. I lost my kibashi down the drain. And I used to know the words to that one. That was the other one. One time, I think I was 12, I built this model car, Roadster, Model A Roadster, and it wasn't, your regular model car was a 125th, and this was like 115th, it was a big one. And I mean, I meticulously, because I used to build models a lot, I meticulously built this thing. I mean, painted the body, did everything, made sure I didn't get glue fingerprints all over everything. I mean, you know, it came out beautiful. And one time I packed it in a box with a note. I sent it to the ghoul. And I said, "Dear ghoul, it took me a month to build this model car. Will you please, please, please blow it up on TV, please?" And he did.
No kidding. I think, if I remember right, I think his show was out of Ohio someplace.
The show was in Detroit, but he come out of Parma, Ohio. He drove to Detroit every night, drunk. It's no secret. He was always drunk, but he drove from Parma to Detroit drunk. And dude, he was drunk when he was on the air. He was drunk.
I think it's MRAP. Karma spelled backwards or something like that.
Yeah, he would criticize the movie. The movie would play and then they, you know, cut their intermission over to him. And he'd say, "Are you still watching this stupid movie? What kind of monster does this and that? All that stuff, that fake stuff." He used to insult the movies that they were playing.
Yeah. Well, Sven Gulli, he's pretty corny. You know, it could be a little better, but I guess it's more family-oriented. But tonight we have Tarantula, Giant Spider Strike, Crawling Terror, 100 feet high.
Ah, Christ. I remember, too, one more thing about the ghoul. I remember for a while there, I don't know if parents or somebody were trying to get him off the air. People, all the goody-goody, his show incites violence, and, you know, my kid, now he watched the ghoul, now he goes around the house blowing up the cat and putting M80s in the toilet. You know, he needs to go. Ghoul got to go. We got to get rid of him and stuff. They tried, man, but they couldn't do it.
Yeah, you know, things have changed. There's things you used to be able to do, and now you can't. Now there's things you couldn't do then, and now they can. I mean, they pretty much, you know, use swear words on television at, you know, probably later at night.
Yeah, I remember back in the day, you couldn't swear on television. And any reference to sex, anything, got the station in trouble. Any reference to sex or swearing. And then, I don't know if it started with the Golden Girls, but that show, I hated it. I didn't like it. Three old ladies, and all they talk about is getting laid. you know, these three ugly-ass broads, you know, talk about, all they talk about is, you know, especially the one there, what's her name, not B. Arthur, and not the old broad, but the other one. But, man, I used to hate that show, because that's all they used to talk about is sex, sex, sex. Well, after that, as time went on, now you see what we, well, now you, present day, you see what we got now.
Yep, roger that, roger that. Well, I'll tell you, 8 o'clock, Senguli's on. I'm going to tune in and at least watch the beginning of it if it's worth the time. Most of those movies are just so stupid that I just, you know, about a half hour into them, it's like, ah, I turn this crap off.
Yeah, well, the stuff today, no offense to it, it's not like the stuff of yesterday when we were kids. You know, there was lots of good shows to watch, you know, and certain movies and stuff, too. But today, I don't know. I don't watch TV. I haven't watched TV in a long time. I'm a radio listener. If I'm going to do anything, I'm going to turn on one of my radios and listen to it. But I quit watching TV a long time ago. Nothing on. You know, when I lived in the trailer park, I had cable. I had it for a short while, man. I told them, you know, forget it. You know, all them channels, and it's all the same thing. You know, the same episodes till 2 weeks, and then it changed the episode, and I got tired of all that.
Yeah, I haven't had cable in years. Years and years, you know. 200 channels and nothing worth a damn watching.
Yeah. I only had it like a month, and I said, nope, I don't want it. You're just sitting there flicking the channel, the up and down buttons, man, like, I don't want to see that. Already seen it. But they took my internet, too, because the internet was with it, and I didn't give a damn. And I got a hold of this antenna, this internet Wi-Fi antenna, USB. Put it in the USB, in your USB port on your laptop or your computer. And I had this extension cable with a USB female on one end, USB male on the other. And I hooked it up to my computer, and I dangled the antenna in the window, and I was able to pick up the Wi-Fi from the clubhouse. I was running on the Wi-Fi from the clubhouse. I ran like that for a long time.
Yeah, well, right now I just, you know, I pay for internet. But I got a friend across the street while we're on across the way here that, you know, I'm thinking we could cut the cost in half. We could get a couple little, like, directional antennas. Only one of us would have to have the service, and you'd be it.
Yeah, it was cool. Yeah, I just wanted to see if I could find any open routers, any open Wi-Fi, so I stuck it up. I went over the curtain rod, and I had it dangling in the window next to the glass pane, and I would look through it, and here I found the clubhouse, and the clubhouse was unlocked, and so I logged onto the clubhouse, and there it was, man. I had internet. And, yeah, I ran like that for a long time, a year or two or so.
Well, you know, anymore, I can't live without it. I gotta have my internet. I mean, as I'm like you, I don't watch a bunch of TV. Very, very little. So, gotta have it. I can't believe some of these people are, they're just staying into these streaming sites, and, you know, $30 a piece, have two, three of them, that's just insanity. Paying that kind of money down to watch some cheap crap.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, some people are like that. No offense to them. That's what they want to do, then that's what they want to do. You want to pay the money, then pay it. All right, man, let me get on a quiet side here and listen for a little bit, open up the band in case somebody else wants to get in there. So I'll talk to you in a little bit, my friend. Good to talk to you. Glad you're out there, man. Finally got to talk to you after a couple of days of that. Sounding good. And I'll get with you in a little bit there. WSZ 793, I'm listening after yours.
Yeah, Dave, great talking. Always a good time with you. Just sounding good as usual. Yeah, like I said, I'm going to get in the first part of this movie. I'll be out here, you know, a little later, monitor or anything. Give me a shout if you're out there. I'll see you around. WSAL 946, I'm clear.
Roger that, my friend.
WRZQ 607, monitoring.
WSDI 847, WIUG 48, copy. WSDI 847. WIUG 38, copy. WIUG 38, clear.
WREG 488, WRTX 957.
WSIL 946. WSAL 946.
You ain't nothing but a faggot punk. Node 702 disconnected. Node 701 disconnected. Node 700 connected to Node 701. Node 700 connected to Node 702.
Truck driver job around here. I mean, they bring guys in from Mexico and India and all that, Zimbabwe, Kenya, bring them in here to drive the truck for, you know, $4 an hour, and they'd happily take it. Yeah, truck driver, you're down west. Forgot India. No, 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 that was number two on the hit parade.
You are a faggot punk and will... You are a faggot punk and will always be a faggot punk. You are a faggot punk and will always be a faggot punk.
You ain't black.
Were you married to a black woman? What happened to me? My daughter's white. Give me a CFF. I'm clear, faggot.
I don't know if you guys are coming in from Ohio, but, WSAL 9, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6